The reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. And Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Salmon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile of Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Ebed. Ebed, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. And Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matthan. Matthan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, for its truth, for its relevance to our lives. And we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak your word deep into our hearts and minds, transforming us into the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. TV presenter Gabby Logan has recently taken an emotionally draining journey to discover her roots in Cardiff. Exploring her family tree for the TV series Coming Home, she was deeply moved by the grim life of her great-great-grandmother. Clara Yorath was widowed and left with five children when her husband David died of TB at the age of 35. Gabby was born and brought up in Leeds, where her father was a star football player there in the 1970s, before he and the family moved to Coventry. She's now married to the former Scottish rugby international, Kenny Logan, with whom she has four-year-old twins. "I'm full of questions and full of excitement," she said, as she embarked on the journey. Gabby's determination to find out what happened to Clara and her orphan children at the turn of the 20th century led her to more heartbreaking discoveries. As a mother, Gabby was devastated to hear how two of Clara's children died of malnutrition at birth. They were malnourished in the womb. And the fate of Clara's surviving three children also made for uncomfortable listening. Gabby said, "I felt absolutely heartbroken. It's beyond any comprehension of people in our society today. I feel really drained. You don't realize how emotionally draining it is to hear and take on all that information. I can't begin to imagine how she dealt with all these deaths as a mother." I wonder how you'd like to trace your family tree. There are quite a lot of these programs on TV now. I've only seen a couple of them, but the people always seem to end up in tears. I think we find it hard to cope with pain and suffering in our background. It does seem to affect us. I think we'd like to assume that our family tree is full of success and happiness. If you were making up a family tree for Jesus, my guess is you would make it sound as impressive as possible. The fact that Matthew includes failures, for me, gives the whole thing the ring of truth. I only saw a clip of the Gabby Logan program. There was such a striking contrast between the glamorous TV personality and the poverty of her background. Jesus' family tree is a bit like that. He is wonderful. He is eternally God. He is worshipped by the whole of heaven. And yet, he chose to come from a family of disasters. He chose to be born as a human being from the family of Mary. Let me try and outline the main points. I've got four. He is a son of David. He is a son of Abraham. He is a son of failures. And he rescues his people from exile. Firstly, he is a son of David. This is the beginning of the New Testament, the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And yet, what Matthew says is, this is not the beginning of the story. In order to understand the story, you need to know the Old Testament. You need to know the Old Testament to understand Jesus' name. Jesus is the English version of the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means God is salvation. God saves. In the same way that God saved his people from slavery in Egypt and brought them into the promised land under Joshua's leadership. So Jesus is the new Joshua. He leads us out of slavery to sin and death and hell and brings us into the promised land of heaven. You need to know the Old Testament in order to understand the second part of Jesus' name, Christ. Christ is not Jesus' surname, it's his title. It's his job title. Christ means anointed one. In the coronation service of the kings and queens of Britain, Handel's famous work, Zadok the Priest, is sung. It's a quotation from the Bible. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king. Who is the anointed one? Who is the Christ in the Old Testament? It's the king. The king of Israel is God's anointed rescuer king. He is anointed to lead God's people. and rescue them from their enemies. The only problem was, most of the Old Testament kings couldn't do it. They couldn't lead God's people because they themselves were not following God. And they couldn't rescue God's people very often because of their sin. Because of their sin, God allowed the nation to fall into defeat. So it was a great idea that there should be a Christ, an anointed rescuer, king. But who could do it well? Ultimately, no one. What a joy, then, that Jesus comes on the scene. He is the Christ. He is the King who can lead God's people all the way through life and even through death to the promised land of heaven. He is the one who can rescue us, not just from the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Persians or the Greeks or the Romans. Jesus can rescue us from sin and death and hell and Satan himself. This is the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of David. Now this takes us back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. We studied it at Sunday at 6 a month ago. Picture the scene. David is now installed as king of all Israel. Temporarily, God has given Israel victory over her enemies. David was successful in that respect. And David is enjoying a quiet night in with his good friend, in fact his vicar, Nathan the prophet. Picture them in the palace, reclining, enjoying a good meal, enjoying the best of wines. And David says to Nathan, "Nathan, old chap, can it be right that I'm living in a palace and God lives in a tent?" He says this because at this stage in Israel's history, God was worshipped in a tent. It was called the tabernacle. And David says, "This cannot be right. I must build God a house. I must build God a temple." And Nathan says, "What a good idea." But that night, when Nathan is asleep, God gives Nathan a prophecy, a message from God, which Nathan must deliver faithfully to David. Just like when I study God's word and God gives me a message for you, I must deliver it faithfully, not changing God's word in any way, shape, or form. So God speaks to Nathan, and he says to Nathan that David will not build a house for God. Rather, God will build a house for David. But it will not be a house of stone. It will be a dynasty, a family tree. God will give David a dynasty so that there will always be a descendant of David on the throne of Israel forever and ever. Who is the king of Israel today, humanly speaking? There isn't one. Israel has a president. What has happened to God's promise to David? Where is the Davidic king? This is the same question the Jews were asking in Matthew's day. Who was the king of Israel in Matthew's day? Herod. He wasn't even a true Jew, let alone a descendant of David. And who appointed him? The Romans. What had happened to God's promise to David? Answer: Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to David. Jesus is the one who reigns forever and ever on the throne of David. Jesus is God's Christ, God's anointed King, the one who could lead God's people and who could rescue God's people from their enemies. Because you see, although David was very great, a man after God's own heart, a man who understood repentance, David could not ultimately lead God's people in paths of righteousness, because David deviated from the paths of righteousness. He could write about them in Psalm 23, but tragically, David the shepherd boy, David the psalmist, David who fought Goliath, David the man of God became David the adulterer and the murderer. You may know the story. David had a very famous son called Solomon. He succeeded David. He's referred to in verse 6. His mother is referred to as well. It says she had been Uriah's wife. Unfortunately, she was still Uriah's wife when David got her pregnant. He saw her bathing and he wanted her. So he had her. And then, when he realized she was pregnant, he arranged to have Uriah killed in the vanguard of the battle. And David never recovered from this. He was never truly blessed by God after this. He couldn't be the Christ. It was too much for him. But Jesus is the Christ, the Son of David. Secondly, he is a son of Abraham. There it is in verse 1 again. Abraham must be one of the most famous men in history. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all look to him as their founder. Why is that? Well, remember the book of Genesis. It begins happily with the creation of the world, but then Adam and Eve sin, and God curses the world as a punishment. Things go down and down after this. God floods the world under Noah, and God expressed his judgment on human pride by confusing our languages at Babel. Is there any hope for a world which has rebelled against God? Answer: yes. In Genesis 12, God provides Abraham. And God says that he will bless Abraham and that all nations will be blessed through Abraham. This is the mission of Israel. This is Israel's reason to be. They are the descendants of Abraham, and through them, all the nations of the world were to be blessed. They are described as a light to the Gentiles. But the problem was a bit like this. I went to quite a good comp called Brinterion. I was a Christian when I went there. And in fact, God put me there to be a light to the school, along with the other Christians. And to some extent, I was indeed a light to the school by God's grace. A number of my friends were converted. We had a big youth group in our church because, for all our faults, we had the courage to invite our friends to church, even though it was nothing like as cool and funky as Christchurch. What are you laughing at? My friends and I were a light to the school. People found Christ through us. However, although I took the light of Jesus in me to the school, at the same time, the darkness of the school entered my heart. So although I was a well-known Christian, I made many of the same mistakes my non-Christian friends made. I so often let the Lord down. And that's how it was for Old Testament Israel. They were meant to be, as descendants of Abraham, a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations. And at times they were. They gave us God's law, for example. That was a great light in the darkness. But tragically, the darkness of the nations got into Israel, so that they joined in the false worship of the Canaanites. They got involved in temple prostitution. Even their kings and priests lived debauched lives. How could all the nations be blessed through Abraham and through his descendants? How could it be done? Only through one descendant of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. He could be what even Abraham himself couldn't be. Remember when God promised Abraham a son, even though he and Sarah were old? What did Abraham do at his wife's suggestion? He had sex with another woman, Hagar, whose son is Ishmael. He's the one through whom the Arabs came into being. Christians and Jews trace their origins to Abraham's son Isaac, born of Sarah. Muslims trace their origins to Ishmael. And in fact, they revised the Bible hundreds of years later to make the stories about Isaac apply to Ishmael. All historians know you can't revise a document without evidence. And there is no evidence that the stories about Isaac actually apply to Ishmael. Abraham himself was a failure. He couldn't trust God. He slept with the wrong woman. He lied about his wife. He pretended she was his sister on two occasions because he was a coward. He endangered his wife's life to save his own. Abraham is one of the greatest men in history, no doubt about that, but he was a failure. But Jesus can be what he could never be, the one through whom all the nations of the world are blessed. Thirdly, Jesus is a son of failures. You'll be glad to know that I'm not going to go through all the names in the genealogy, even though they were so superbly read. Now, some of them are treasures, undoubted treasures, like Ruth. But all of them were like you and me. They were sinners. Most of us here are good at our work, good parents, good spouses. And at the same time, we do and say things we're thoroughly ashamed of. That's the point I'm making. This family tree is a bit of a rogue's gallery. They were ordinary sinners. What impresses me is that God didn't have to do this. He didn't have to associate his son with people like this. He could have kept Jesus distinct from humanity. Think of how Jesus assumes visible form in the Old Testament. Remember how he appears to Joshua as the commander of the Lord's army. God could have done it that way. He could have parachuted Jesus in, straight from heaven. Never mind about Mary. Never mind about her sordid family tree. Why didn't God do that? It was because Jesus had to be human to represent us. Only a human could die for humans on the cross. Only a human could die in our place. And so Jesus becomes thoroughly human. He is born of Mary. He is also God, of course. God is his Father. Jesus chooses to identify with sinners, to become fully human, fully God, and fully human, so that he can save sinners. So, there in verse 2 is Jacob, the deceiver. Jesus is born of a liar's line. There in verse 2 is Judah, who had sex with his daughter-in-law, thinking she was a prostitute. Jesus is descended from him. Look at verse 5. Rahab. Jesus is born of a prostitute's line. We've already discussed David, the adulterer and murderer. What about Solomon? Perhaps the most sexually promiscuous man who ever lived, who led Israel into idolatry, even though, of course, he was wise in his youth. I think I've made my point. God chose this way. He chose to be associated with sinners, and yet he is without sin. Jesus never sinned. Jesus is the remedy for sin. Does this encourage you? It encourages me. When I think of my own sin, I realize if Jesus is not ashamed to call these people his parents, then he's not ashamed to call me his brother. Isn't that amazing? Friend of sinners, the sinless one, the judge of sinners, the creator of hell as the place of punishment, and yet the one who will forgive us and love us and accept us and bless us and be our friend, be our lover, be our husband. I just stand in awe and say, "Thank you, Jesus." And then finally, number four, he rescues his people from exile. Look at verse 17. There were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile, to Babylon. And 14 from the exile to the Christ. The point I want you to notice is the exile in Babylon. Why has Matthew chosen to highlight this? Answer: because it was the great tragedy of Israel's history. You remember, the nation of Israel was supposed to live in the land of Israel. This is God's pattern, which he discloses to Abraham. God's people, in God's place, under God's rule, God's word, and God's king. And twice in the Old Testament, God's people lose this. The first time was when they ended up as slaves in Egypt. God's people, yes. In God's place, no. Under God's rule, partly. But Egypt has gone down in history as a place of great blessing for Israel. Remember how God came to their aid. He sent the plagues. He rescued them. He gave the Passover, which Jews celebrate to this day, which we celebrate in the form of communion. Egypt was, on balance, a blessing. Babylon was different. Israel never recovered from Babylon. The high point in Israel's history to this day was the reign of Solomon. Even today, Israel doesn't enjoy the borders and prestige it knew under Solomon. After Solomon, it was downhill all the way because of the sin of the nation, started by Solomon. God allowed the nation to be divided and to end up defeated by Babylon, exiled in Babylon, so that famously God's people wept by the rivers of Babylon. And then there was a glimmer of hope. Babylon was replaced by Persia as the regional superpower, and the people were allowed to return and rebuild Jerusalem, even rebuild the temple. And there was even a ruler who was distantly related to David. Was this God's rescue from exile? Who were the rulers when Matthew wrote the gospel? The Romans. The people were in the land, but they were not under God's rule. They were under foreign rule. The land of Israel was a disappointment. To this day, the Jews are oppressed by their neighbors. This is why they're so hardline with the Palestinians. They have reason to be afraid. Life in Israel is not the rescue from exile that God's word promises. Heaven is the fulfillment of all the Bible's promises about the land of Israel. Heaven is the ultimate rescue from exile. And Jesus is the one who gets us there. And exile in Babylon is a picture of life without Christ. We are cut off from God's blessing if we're not in a relationship with him. And this will end in an eternity in hell. Only Jesus can rescue us from exile. Only Jesus can bring us into God's place, heaven, to live under God's rule, experiencing his blessing. I want all of us to go to heaven. That's why I'm in business. So I want to point you to Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, the Son of failures, and the one who can rescue us from exile. May he rescue us all. Amen.